let's look at some different scriptures. Starting in Matthew chapter 15, please. Matthew chapter 15, verse 32. I'm going to be reading out of the NET translation, New English. Verse 32, Matthew 15. Then Jesus called the disciples and said, I have compassion on the crowd, because they have already been here with me 3 days, and they have nothing to eat. I do not want to send them away hungry, since they may faint from exhaustion on the way. The disciples said to him, Where can we get enough bread in this desolate place to feed so great a crowd? And Jesus said to them, How much bread do you have? And they replied, 7 loaves and a few small fish. After instructing the crowd to sit down on the ground, he took the 7 loaves and the fish, and after giving thanks, he broke them and began distributing them to his disciples, who then distributed them to the crowd. They all ate and were satisfied, and they picked up 7 baskets full of pieces left over. Not counting children and women, there were 4,000 men who ate. Let's pray. Father, we're just thankful. We are thankful. This is a time of thanksgiving, a season of thanksgiving, a reminder for us to be so thankful. And so we just enter into your word with thanksgiving and praise. We enter into your courts with thanksgiving and praise. We come boldly before the throne of grace with thanksgiving and praise, knowing that your truth, your light, will reveal any darkness, will drive out any traditions and doctrines of men, will deal with it. Truth will come forth. And we thank you for our hearts to be established, that those errors, those traditions and doctrines have no impact, no influence over us any further, because truth will make us free as we continue as disciples in your word. And we purpose to be here tonight to continue in your word. And we honor you and thank you for it in Jesus' name. Everyone agreed, said, amen. You know, thinking about Thanksgiving, I thought, well, I'll just go ahead and do a message that somewhat reflects that attitude of thankfulness. Because sometimes in our culture today, people just take things for granted. You ever notice that? So sometimes people just no longer have an attitude of gratitude about things. They just kind of expect things to be done for them. They expect things to be taken care of. It's almost like they expect things to be given to them for free. No effort, no cost, no awareness of the value. And yet, I think there's so many things we as believers sometimes go through life and forget how thankful we should be for what Jesus has done for us. You know, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, the King James says, In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Notice it says, in everything. I've actually heard people misquote this verse and say, for everything. It doesn't say for everything. It says, in everything. Because the major difference is the fact that when I'm in the midst of something, I can look to Jesus to get me out of it. In fact, I'm going to ask them to put the Amplified version up on the monitor there for me. Thank God in everything, no matter what the circumstances may be. Be thankful and give thanks. For this is the will of God for you who are in Christ Jesus, the revealer and the mediator of all that. Is that it? That doesn't sound right. All that will? All of God's will. I think we missed part of it. That's all right. You'll get the gist of it. It's all part of God's will to be able to see exactly what God has for us in everything, not for everything, in the midst of no matter what the circumstances are, I can look to God and say, He's got an answer for me. So in everything, give thanks. In the midst of everything, I can give thanks. Turn over to Mark chapter 8. This is another parallel passage to what we opened with in Matthew 15. Let's see 1 Thessalonians put into action here. Mark chapter 8, verse 1. In those days there was again a great crowd with nothing to eat. So Jesus said to his disciples, I have compassion on the crowd because they have been with me 3 days already and have had nothing to eat. Can you imagine that, going 3 days so caught up listening to Jesus preach they didn't even bother to eat anything for 3 days? Did you catch that? I think that's interesting. Just so caught up with him. Wow. He says, if I send them home hungry, they will faint on the way, and some of them have come from a great distance. His disciples answered him, where can someone get enough bread in this wilderness place to satisfy these people? And he asked them, how much bread do you have? And they said, 7 loaves. Then he directed the crowd to recline on the ground. And after he took the 7 loaves and gave thanks, he broke them and gave them to the disciples to serve. So they served the crowd, the 7 loaves, and gave, so they served the crowd, and they also had a few small fish. After giving thanks for these, he told them to serve these as well. So they ate and were satisfied and took up 7 baskets full of leftovers. There were about 4,000, and he sent them away. I think there's some significance in the timing of all this giving of thanks here. In both accounts, in Matthew's account and in Mark's account, something takes place no matter what translation you look at. There's a sequence of words that I want you to see in Mark in your Bible that perhaps you haven't caught before. They just jumped out at me here recently, and I've been thinking about them a lot as I was preparing for this message. Because in verse 7, he says, they also had a few small fish. After giving thanks for these. After giving thanks for these. Notice that word after. After giving thanks for these, then he did something. I think worship here is the highest expression of faith before anything else happens. He actually gave thanks to God, and he gave thanks for those things, and he gave thanks for them before they multiplied and before he gave them to people. Now, see, most of us, we think of saying thank you after something's done for us. But the word after, we kind of read it and just kind of log it away and just keep right on reading it. And I think we miss the fact that it says after giving thanks, which really means he gave thanks first. He gave thanks first, and then he took action. I think there's something significant about faith being released and trusting God the Father and him knowing that God the Father would hear his petition and his request. Worship, in this case, I believe God is answering and hearing. And when we give thanks before the disciples actually go and serve the people, before it's multiplied, before they actually see any evidence of the miracle, after he gave thanks, they did something. That tells me he gave thanks first. Our culture, our society, our thinking is, you do something for me, then I'll say what? Thank you. How many of you send a thank you card to someone before they do anything for you? Huh? Do we do that? In fact, I know a lot of people don't even bother sending a thank you card even when you do something for them. That's not very good. I think there's something about showing your appreciation and thankfulness. I think that's part of who we are as believers, that we should show that thankfulness and that appreciation. Jesus does that even up front. What an example. He looks around and he sees a need, and before he even does it, he starts thanking God for the answer. Think about that. We get all caught up with these things, and we don't think about giving thanks beforehand. I almost wish he hadn't used the word after, but that's the word that's in there in all these different cases. It's used time and time again in all the parallel passages. It's that way in Mark. It's that way in Matthew. Turn over to John chapter 6. Let's look at another one. This is the feeding the 5,000. Feeding the 5,000. John chapter 6, verse 1. After this, Jesus crossed the Sea of Galilee to Tiberias. And a huge crowd was following him because they saw the signs that he was performing by healing the sick. So Jesus went up a mountain, sat down there with his disciples. Now the Passover, a Jewish festival, was near. Therefore, when Jesus looked up and noticed a huge crowd coming toward him, he asked Philip, now listen what he asks him, "Where will we buy bread so these people can eat?" He asks Philip, "Where will we buy bread so these people can eat?" Verse 6. He asked this to test him, or to test Philip. For he, Jesus himself, knew what he was going to do. So Jesus already knew. Jesus already understood. Jesus already had a plan. Jesus already could see the answer. But he asked Philip. He's teaching his disciples. They're in the training of the ministry. So he's trying to get them to learn something. So sometimes he may put them on the spot. And he said to Philip, "Where will we buy bread so these people can eat?" And Philip answers, verse 7, 200 denarii worth of bread wouldn't be enough for each of them to have a little. Some say even just a little crumb, a little bite. Well, a denarii, if you go through all the rest of the New Testament, all the different examples of the New Testament, a denarii was known in that day as one day's wage. So, what's Philip saying? 200 days worth of wages wouldn't be enough to buy all the food required to feed these people. Now, I think that's significant that Jesus is testing Philip. Now, personally, I've read a number of different commentaries, and they're all over the spectrum. I don't think Jesus could have asked that question if the bankroll was empty. Think about that. You know, I read one commentary said, well, Jesus knew that it really wasn't a test because they didn't have enough money because they were poor. Well, I don't buy that. These guys don't blink at the fact that they had that much money. Jesus asks and talks about why did... Look at the next verse, verse 8. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There's a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what are they among so many?" They never question about buying the bread. They just said, "We just don't have enough. There's only just a little bit here. There's this kid, he's got his bag lunch. But, you know, you're going to take 2 months, 2 years, 200 or 8 months worth of that. That equals about 8 months worth of salary. 200 days. Think about what that would be. About 8 months, probably, worth of salary. How much do you make in 8 months? How much if you got paid every day for 200 days, and you were to say, okay, now, I got to buy everybody lunch today. That's a pretty big bill. And yet Jesus is saying that to the disciples. He says, we can handle that. Well, we know from other scriptures, a lot of other scriptures, that there were a number of very wealthy people, some women, that supported his ministry. Wealthy people supported that ministry. So that they never had those kind of needs. And obviously, people who think, oh, poor Jesus. Well, Judas was stealing out of the bag and nobody caught on. You know what embezzlement means? He got enough funds that no one catches on for quite a while. Hello? So don't give me this poor old Jesus. That really wasn't a legitimate test. That really wasn't a legitimate question. Yeah, it was. They probably had enough money in the bank, so to speak, in their account, to have bought enough food for everybody, and yet they're saying, I don't know where we're going to get that much. I mean, what good was it? These people are out here, and where are we going to buy it? You know, Jimmy John's doesn't deliver out here. Huh? Pick it up in verse 10. Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." There was plenty of grass in that place, so they sat down. The men numbered about 5,000. Then Jesus took the loaves, and after giving thanks, notice that straight? Exact same phrase. After giving thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated. So also with the fish, as much as they wanted. And when they were full, he told his disciples, "Collect the leftovers so that nothing is wasted." So they collected them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces from the 5 barley loaves that were left over by those who had eaten. I think there's something important about giving of thanks. Again, notice this phrase here. After giving thanks, he distributed them. Up above, after giving thanks. In all, Matthew, Mark, John, all three, and other places, it's all going to come out. If you looked at Luke chapter 9, verse 16 in the NIV, if you looked at Mark chapter 6, verse 41 in another translation, a parallel to this, all of them say the same thing. Looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the bread, broke and separated the fish, gave thanks before he did something. There's something about faith and giving thanks. There's something about being thankful before we step out. There's something about being thankful before distributing the loaves and the fishes. I believe Jesus is expressing his faith through worship to his Father, that the Father would provide, because I remember watching one of those Jesus movies years ago, and he blessed, and he looked up to heaven, and he thanked God, was worshiping God in a sense, praying. He blessed the basket, and in that basket was what? 5 barley loaves and a couple of fish. And as in the movie, it was really great because the basket kind of tipped, and then it tipped into the other baskets, and pretty soon every disciple had a basket overflowing with bread and the fish, and it just was like this endless pouring out to 5,000 men, and it doesn't count the women and children, just 5,000 men, heads of households. So there could have been 20,000 people there. Now again, I don't know about you, but you go to a restaurant and you're going to buy lunch for 20,000 people. Now, I don't know about you, but if I was a server, I'd expect a pretty good tip, too. Well, that's what the leftovers were. They collected all the leftovers. You know, these impossible situations that we face, are we willing, as it says, after giving thanks, then we should turn it around and say, before doing that, let's give thanks. See, the word after gives us this problem in our English language. The way we word it in English, we see the word after and we think of after. And it's not after, it's before. I just wish we could kind of translate it a little bit different, but that's not the way it's translated. It's not the way it's structured. It's the way it's said. And so we have to live with that. But we can go up in there and kind of just change the way we think about it. Change the way we look at it. Before we ask for something, before we get into something, let's start being thankful, knowing that God hears us. Knowing that this is the confidence that we have in Him. Knowing that He's already got the answer. That He's got the provision. I'm not coming to God and begging Him and asking Him to somehow or another run out into His little magical workshop and make something for me. He's already got it. He's already provided us all things that pertain to life and godliness. He's given us all things to enjoy. When we understand all those scriptures, and Jesus, being who He was, understood that, after giving thanks, He's thanking the Father. He's worshiping. I just wish one of them would have recorded His actual words, other than the fact that He lifted up His eyes to heaven, He lifted up His voice to heaven, He gave thanks. We don't know what He just didn't say, thank you, and then start passing stuff out. I don't think He did that. I think there was more to it than that. I would love to know exactly what He said. Problem is, if we knew exactly what He says, we'd have made a religious formula out of it, probably. So that's probably why we don't get it. That's just Hansen speculation. Paul does the same thing. Turn over to Acts chapter 27. Paul's in a very difficult situation. They're out at sea. The storm's going on. He's gotten alone. He's praying. An angel appears, says, don't worry, I've heard your prayer. You're all going to be saved, but you're not going to save the ship and the goods. But you won't lose a single life. Paul had been praying for the crew. Now, aren't you glad he didn't just pray for himself? He prayed for everybody. And for the sake of time, let's jump down to verse 33. As the day was about to dawn, Paul urged them all to take some food, saying, today is the 14th day that you have continued in suspense and without food, having taken nothing. Now that's a pretty extreme fast. But I would suppose if you're out in that kind of wind and waves, you probably get seasick and lose whatever you eat anyways. But they didn't eat for 14 days. Verse 34. Therefore I urge you to take some food, for it will give you strength. Listen to this declaration that he says, because he's already prayed, he's heard from the angel, he's got a word from God. He says, for not a hair is to perish from the head of any one of you. And when he had said these things, he took bread and what? Gave thanks. Giving thanks to God in the presence of all, then he broke it and began to eat. Then they all were encouraged and ate some food themselves. We were in all 276 persons in the ship. That's a lot of people in one of those little ships. And when they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship, throwing out the wheat into the sea. Now, whoever that captain was and whoever that oar was, he probably wasn't too happy. Because a lot of times they would have rather saved the cargo than the crew. But Paul prayed for the crew, and God said, I'll save the crew, but forget the cargo. It's not that worth it to me. So they started throwing all the cargo overboard, and that's what saved them. And they were to slide in there on the waves, and they had a shipwreck, but they all survived, didn't they? But again, catch the phrase here. Not a hair is going to perish. And he said these things. He took bread, giving thanks to God in the presence of them all. Again, there's something about being thankful and appreciative in the presence of other people when someone does something for you or when you know God has done something for you. Don't be ashamed or don't be quiet about how thankful you should be about what God has done. You know, I was thinking about an illustration of this. As children, sometimes we're not very appreciative. Someone does something for us and we just want to grab it and take it and run. We just want to go play with that toy that somebody gave us. And if you were like me, you say to your children, you train your children, and you say to them, honey, what do you say? Come on now, parents. What do you teach your children when someone else comes up and, oh, here you go, honey. Here you go, sweetie. And they take it. And they go, yes, I got my little precious. And then the parents said, now what do you say to them, honey? Oh, it's about time you gave it to me. I was expecting this last week. Huh? Is that what the parent teaches them? Is that what the child says? No. The child is being taught, what do you say, honey? Say thank you. Say thank you. But see, you're teaching the child to say thank you before or after they get it? After. See, we're trained to always respond to someone doing something generous for us. We're trained to respond after the fact in most cases. And so when we look at this, if it's after, we might have a problem when it comes to faith. There's a faith principle here that I want you to get about being thankful. Boy, I could really get into this. The doctor tells you there's something serious going on in your body. Now, you could say, oh, I don't want to hear that evil report. Well, that's not the evil report. The evil report is what you go out and say about it. That's the evil report. We talked about that last week, I believe. The evil report is our response to negative news. The negative news is not the evil report. Those are just facts. That's just information. How I respond to that information. Now, here's the expression of faith that I want you to get out of all this that I'm going through about after giving thanks. This phrase, after giving thanks, is what hit me recently when I was studying this last week. After giving thanks means this. The doctor says, I'm sorry, but we found this condition. I go out in the parking lot and I sit in my car, for example, and I say, thank you, Father, that Jesus is my healer. See, now I've heard some news. I've heard a diagnosis, prognosis, whatever you want to call it. But my attitude is, I start to thank God for the answer before I ever see any results in my body. In fact, in my body, it's still there based on what the doctor just told me, for example. But I start thanking God before, not after. Even though it says, after giving thanks, then. Well, see, there's action following the giving of thanks. The action is I start to tell everyone else, glory to God, by His stripes I've been healed. Now, of course, I may go up and tell my loved ones, oh, I was just at the doctor and the doctor gave me this prognosis or this diagnosis. I don't know if I'm using the right word or not. Anyways, he told me I'm going to be sick. And guess what? That's what he says. I'm not putting myself in agreement with him. I'm putting myself in agreement with Jesus. I've already thanked Jesus for what he did before on the cross. I'm already thanking Jesus what he did before I heard from the doctor. Jesus was my healer before I went to the doctor. He's my healer while I'm at the doctor. He's my healer when I leave the doctor. Did he ever stop being my healer? No. So, throughout all of it, thank you, Jesus, that you're my healer. I'm saying that before I go to the doctor. I'm saying that when I'm with the doctor. I'm saying that after I see the doctor. I'm saying that no matter what the doctor says. I'm saying that no matter what the banker says. I'm saying that no matter what my body says. I'm saying that no matter what my situations say. Because God's bigger than that. That's faith. That's faith. Faith puts your trust in the fact that God has seen ahead. Jehovah Jireh sees ahead and makes provision. God has seen ahead and made provision for your health, for your prosperity, for your provision, for your eternal salvation. God has made provision. Thank you, Jesus, for my salvation. Thank you, Jesus, for my place in eternity. Are we there yet? Do you feel like it? No, but I am seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Thank you for being there. See? After giving thanks, but really it's before. I know it's a play on words, and I'm just trying to get that point across. When do we respond to someone? Well, naturally, we always respond after something's been done. But see, if I understand something's already been done about my health, if something's already been done about my salvation, if something's already been, I can say then, Jesus, thank you for all of that. And then I go to the doctor and he says, oh, by the way, yeah, but see, I've already been thanking God for my health, my healing, my provision. I already have a thankful heart. Praise and worship. This is the highest expression of my faith. God, I know that you're my source and the God of every resource. After giving thanks, then there's action. Faith and corresponding action always go together. But faith is an expression sometimes beforehand. Jesus was that demonstration. He did that before his disciples. Before he did anything. Before the miracle of the abundance. Before the provision. Before the multiplication. He started to thank God. He lifted up his eyes towards heaven and started thanking God for it. He didn't see bread multiplying and popping out all over the place and fish just popping out. He just lifted them up. Thank you. I know you always hear me. That's faith. That's an expression of trust in God that we have to learn. Now let's go look at the last Passover in this context. I want you to put all that there for you. Turn over to Matthew chapter 26. While they were eating, verse 26. Matthew 26, verse 26. While they were eating, Jesus took bread and, notice the phrase again, after giving thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. And after taking the cup and giving thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant that is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, from now on, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." I think it's important to see that Jesus took the bread, gave thanks, and then broke it and started to distribute it. See, a lot of times what we would do is we'd take the bread, break it, give it to everybody. Now everybody got it. Okay, now we're going to give thanks. And in a sense, that is what we do in our culture. We want to make sure everybody's there together and we have it. Let's look at Mark's version of it. Mark chapter 14. "And while they were eating, he took bread and, after giving thanks," there it is again. It's the same phrase over and over and over. "After giving thanks, he broke it and gave it to them and said, 'Take it. This is my body.' After taking the cup and giving thanks, then he gave it to them, and they all drank from it. And he said to them, 'This is my blood of the covenant that is poured out for many. I tell you the truth, I will no longer drink from the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God.'" Now again, they didn't understand that on the day of the resurrection, he came back and he sat down and he broke bread with them and he drank with them. And he was establishing the kingdom of God was established on the day that he was resurrected. We're not waiting for another day for him to sit down and have lunch with us. He's already established that. "But after giving thanks," Matthew 26:26. "After giving thanks," Mark 14:22. "In each one of these," verse 23, "giving thanks," then he did what? He broke it. He passed the cup. He did something. Oh, I wish I could hear what that prayer was. I wish I could hear what it was other than just saying, "Thank you, Father." But we don't know what he said. Whatever that expression of faith and love was, I think it was powerful enough for them to understand he was putting his life on the line. After giving thanks. Am I the only one that wishes I could hear what those words were? I read those and I think, I want to hear them, Lord. I want to hear what he said. And we don't know. But whatever it was so personal, so from his heart towards the Father. Such an expression of love and faith that the Father automatically would obviously respond. And I think Jesus was knowing that the answer was already there. Jesus knew the Father who already had everything that he needed. He was preparing himself for the cross. He was preparing himself for that suffering. He said, "Oh man, I want to spend this time with you." I'm going to ask Josh Nealon to come up. They're going to bring the elements up. And while they do that, I'm going to ask you, because of the way we're spread out and because of the way things are set up right now, I'm going to have them come up and stand here with a tray and with that bread. And she was so kind to... why don't you bring both trays, Josh? Just in case. Bring them on up, please. While they're doing that, I want to read Luke chapter 22 again. This is that Luke's version of it. "And when the hour was come, he sat down, and the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, 'With desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer.'" Notice what he says, "before I" what? "Suffer." He knew exactly what was coming. He said, "I want to spend this last Passover with you, and I want to share something with you. I want to impart something to you. I want to give an example to you of what's coming. It's not bad. It's not negative. This is actually powerful." And he says, "For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, 'Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come.' And he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them, saying, 'This is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me.' Likewise, also the cup after supper. Now, if you've ever been in a Seder, you know the difference between the cup that was in the beginning and the cup at the end. There was two cups in that thing, and Luke has that recorded properly. He says, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. So we have here our cup and our bread. And when we receive this, understand that it's already finished. If you need healing in your body, is it already done? I'm not trying to get God to create healing. I'm not trying to convince God to do anything for me. I'm receiving from God what He's already provided. After giving thanks, thank you, Jesus, for what you've already done. This is a point of faith. This is a point of release. This is a point of connection with what God has already done. Let's just be thankful for our salvation. This is a new covenant here. Be thankful for His healing, that His body was broken for us. Thank God for His provision. And every single one of these things, come with a thankful heart. You know, some of us, we were brought up in a religious tradition where communion was almost like this sacred thing where you almost like couldn't even touch it. You couldn't do anything. It was almost like, almost spooky. And instead, the Bible's like, come. This is precious. This is important. This is powerful. Come with a thankful heart. Don't be afraid. Come in faith, not fear. 1 Corinthians 11, Weymouth says this, for it was from the Lord that I received the facts, which in turn I handed on to you. How that the Lord Jesus, on the night He was betrayed, took some bread, and after giving thanks, there it is again, He broke it and said, this is my body, which is about to be broken for you. I like that one. Which is about to be broken for you. Weymouth has the actual translation that he believes from the original language puts it in context. He says, this is my body, which is about to be broken for you. Do this in memory of me. In the same way, when the meal was over, he also took the cup. This cup, he took that final cup, he said, is the new covenant of which my blood is the pledge. Do this every time that you drink it in memory of me. For every time that you eat this bread and drink from the cup, you are proclaiming the Lord's death until He returns. Father, we give You thanks. We thank You before we do anything here. We thank You before we receive this. We give thanks for Your salvation. We give thanks for the plan of redemption. We give thanks for health and healing in our bodies. We give thanks for the supernatural provision that we receive from You. We give thanks for all the things that You have provided. We honor You. And as we receive this bread and this cup, we do it in remembrance of what Jesus did for us. That after giving thanks, then He broke it. After giving thanks, He divided it and provided it. He divided it and provided it to His disciples, to the multitudes, to all of humanity. We are so thankful for that. We give You thanks in Jesus' name. I'm just going to invite you to come up here and just come out. Father, we're so thankful. Just go ahead and receive it. Just come on up. Just go ahead and take it. Go back to your seat and receive it. We worship You, Jesus. We worship You, Jesus. You are the King of kings and the Lord of lords. We worship You, Jesus. once you've received the bread in your cup, go ahead and turn to your seat. Just take that time to be thankful yourself and receive it when you're ready. Just go ahead and receive it. We won't receive it together. I've already thanked Him, prayed over it. Just go ahead and pray yourself. Just worship Him. Whatever it is you need, thank Him for it now. Whatever it is you need, if you need the peace of God that passes all understanding, the Holy Spirit's there to bring that comfort. If you need healing in your body, it's there to provide for you. Hallelujah. After giving thanks, He broke it and said, "This is My body, which is about to be broken for you. Do this in memory of Me." He also took the cup, giving thanks, said, "This is a new covenant, which My blood is the pledge. Do this every time that you eat it in memory of Me." Father, we do proclaim Your return. We expect Your return, but we rejoice in Your life right now. We rejoice in Your life in us right now. We thank You for Your body and Your precious blood that has cleansed us from all unrighteousness. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You. Second Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3 says this, "Dear brothers," I love that because Paul loved that Thessalonian church very much. It was very precious to him. He says, "Dear brothers, giving thanks to God for you is not only the right thing to do, but it is our duty to God because of the really wonderful way your faith has grown and because of your growing love for each other." I love that translation because what he's saying is that it's the right thing to do. And he says, it's our duty to God to be giving thanks because of the fact that our faith is growing and our love is growing for each other and it's having an impact on the world. But again, we're giving thanks for that now. Before, you know, I can give thanks for the fact that your love and your faith is going to have an impact this holiday season on your family and your relatives and your coworkers. And you say, "I don't know how that's going to happen." I don't either, but I'm giving thanks for it already. I'm giving thanks for the fact that you're going to have opportunities to sow seeds of the gospel in the lives of other people. I'm giving thanks for the fact that you'll be able to go to a 242 group and just hook up and be encouraged and bring your supply and bring the things that God has shown you and share with others and see your faith and your love grow towards each other. I mean, that's the purpose of these Wednesday night 242 groups. Giving thanks in everything, in every situation. Again, not for giving thanks for what God has done in our life. I give thanks. Just the other day I was giving thanks. I was corresponding back and forth with some people that had really been important and spoken into my life. And, you know, you can be, I think, petty or say, "Oh, thank you, thank you." But it was really important for me to communicate to certain people how much of an impact they've made on my life. And so I responded to them. And two of them specifically beat me to it. I was a little upset with that. They sent me something, personal thank you. And I don't see myself as having an influence on their life. But they wrote something to me that got me kind of emotional at the time. And I wrote back to them both. And gave thanks for the fact that they spoke into my life all these years and have not given up on us at times when it seemed like, Again, no matter what the situation is, we know that God's got the answer to get us out of it. Amen? In everything. Say that with me. In everything. Give thanks. For this is the will of God concerning me. That's the will of God. Last verse. These are Paul's final words on the subject. Philippians chapter 4. Do not worry about anything, but pray and ask God for everything you need, always giving thanks. Father, we just always give thanks.